Hello again. I'm Steve Murphy, a trust and estates attorney with McGuire Woods LLP. And this is Legacy Planning Once Removed, my podcast on legacy, property, taxes, family, and everything else on my clients' minds. We obviously talk a lot about wealth on this podcast, and we talk a lot about ways to use wealth to facilitate the ways that others can lead productive and fulfilled lives. It's a difficult balancing act, trying to use wealth to facilitate personal and professional development without enabling those bad habits. One issue that comes up pretty regularly with my clients is how they can help a child or other beneficiary purchase a home. You can see the allure of this. Owning a home seems a great opportunity to have someone develop self-sufficiency, responsibility, the ability to invest and improve one's own property, and pride in doing that. That is something we often call ownership. In this case, literal and figurative, taking ownership of that property and their lives. But home prices continue to rise, especially in neighborhoods that are desirable for raising families or which are close to work. So when a young beneficiary is starting out, they might not have the resources to purchase a home in the first place. So again, many clients think, how can we help? If you're having those thoughts, then I have to appreciate your generosity and thoughtfulness. It's a great way to give someone a leg up or a good start on that kind of path. And during your lifetime, you certainly can help through loans or gifts or other structures that we'll discuss in this episode. And importantly, if you're alive, then you're in control, both now and in the future. But in this podcast, we try to focus on how these structures can work once you pass away or once you make a gift and give up control. That is, once you're removed, pun intended, from the equation. So in this episode, we'll focus on a subset of how to facilitate a purchase of a home. We'll assume that assets are being placed in trust for the benefit of a beneficiary, and distributions can be made to that beneficiary. And upon that beneficiary's death, the remaining funds continue on, let's say for that beneficiary's descendants. Let's assume that the beneficiary approaches the trustee and would like to purchase a home. How about for $1 million? I know that might sound like a lot, might sound like a very expensive home, but I'd like to use that $1 million for round numbers, but also to suggest the idea that this home is currently beyond that young beneficiary's reach. They can't purchase it themselves. And then in this episode, we'll think through how you can structure a trust so that even after you make the gift or even after you pass away, the trust can help the purchase of this home for that beneficiary in the right way. So for my other episodes, you know that I love talking about a spectrum. And so there are various concerns and options here. So I'll start with one end of the spectrum. This is the simplest option, option A. In this option, the trustee simply makes a large distribution to the beneficiary of $1 million. Then the beneficiary purchases the home. One benefit certainly is simplicity. There's no need to worry about loans and banks and mortgages. Another benefit is ownership and responsibility. After the purchase, the beneficiary is the owner. It's the beneficiary's home. But there are at least three potential problems with this very simple approach. First, once the assets are distributed, the beneficiary can do whatever he or she wants with the home. That is, this option is simple to a fault. Many clients are concerned the beneficiary could retitle the home in the name of his or her spouse, in which case, in the event of death or divorce, the spouse would have the right have some rights to the home. And upon the beneficiary's death, the home doesn't necessarily go to the same remainder beneficiaries that you, the settlor, intended. Second, on a related note, the distribution of these funds gives up some asset protection for the assets. We always keep in the back of our minds that the beneficiary could have a creditor. Maybe the beneficiary borrowed money for a business or personally guaranteed a loan or hit someone with his or her car. We hate to think about it, but it certainly can happen. We know from prior episodes that if that $1 million stays in the trust, then under well-settled principles of the law, many creditors of the beneficiary can't touch that property while it's in the trust. Meanwhile, if the assets are in the beneficiary's name, then the creditor could just seize those assets. Third, there are also estate tax implications here. If the assets are in the trust, then it can be structured so that the assets don't trigger estate tax at the beneficiary's death. But if the funds come out of the trust to purchase the home, and if the beneficiary owns the home, then at the beneficiary's death, the home's value is included in the beneficiary's gross estate for estate tax purposes. And estate tax might be due. I raise this issue third because estate tax just might not be a concern for the settlor or for you, or let alone for the beneficiary. The estate tax exemption continues to be very high right now, as I've talked about in other episodes. But then again, the estate tax rate currently is 40%. So when it applies, it's significant. So as you can see, this first option is simple, but again, it really is simple to a fault. There are some concerns we have to navigate here. So how about the other end of the spectrum? In this option, the trust actually purchases the home. The trust is the owner. Then the trust allows the beneficiary to live in the home. This is the flip side of each of the concerns mentioned above. First, since the trust is the owner, the beneficiary can't transfer the property to a spouse or others if that's not permitted by the trust. And upon the beneficiary's death, the home, that is, that $1 million worth of value, passes to the remainder beneficiaries intended by you, by the settlor. And second, since the home is in the trust, the home retains essentially that same creditor protection that it had before the purchase. Although you'd want to talk to counsel to make sure that using property for the benefit of a beneficiary who has a creditor doesn't cause any wrinkles, but that's a separate issue. And third, since the home is in the trust, upon the beneficiary's death, it might not be included in the beneficiary's estate for estate tax purposes. So maybe no estate tax is due at the beneficiary's death. So this other option has those benefits, but it also has some downsides. The beneficiary might not feel the same kinds of ownership of the home since it's not technically his or hers. And many clients worry generally about fostering a sense of entitlement, almost the reverse concept of ownership. And that would be a terrible and ironic result here, since the goal of purchasing the house in the first place was to facilitate good habits and that sense of ownership. So we have these two options, but there are a host of options in the middle. How about ways to balance the beneficiary's ownership of the home and responsibility for the home while protecting the value in the trust? Here are just a couple of options. The beneficiary could purchase the home and take out a mortgage from a bank, and the trust could guarantee the loan. This might allow the beneficiary to get a loan they might not otherwise be able to get. One concern here is that the trust would be on the hook for the mortgage and might lose substantial value if the beneficiary can't fulfill the terms of the mortgage. As another option, the trust could distribute cash to the beneficiary for the down payment. Then the beneficiary could buy the home and take out a mortgage from a bank. The down payment is typically about 20% from bank, so that might be $200,000. That's a much smaller distribution than the $1 million total to allow the beneficiary to purchase the property. Or if the beneficiary can't afford to pay the payments of the mortgage, the trust could make some regular distributions to the beneficiary for the mortgage or for some part of the mortgage. By the way, some clients are concerned about this idea because it's not clear when that subsidy might end. They might again worry about a sense of entitlement or dependence if the trust is making distributions to the beneficiary. As another option, the trust could loan funds to the beneficiary, then the beneficiary purchases the home, and the beneficiary pays back the loan to the trust. By the way, this kind of loan has to be based on at least a minimal interest rate for loans set by some federal rates. So you can see that many clients like the idea of the use of a loan because over time, the assets of the trust might stay more or less the same, but meanwhile, the beneficiary has that ownership of the home, and their ownership and equity in the home slowly grows. So if you're thinking about how to structure this so that you balance the two ends of that spectrum, ownership and protection, consider using a loan in some way. So some clients like the idea of purchasing the home in the trust right now, with the idea that at some point in the future, the ownership can be shifted to the beneficiary. That is, some clients like the idea of combining some of these options over time. And so again, you can see there are lots of options here. But importantly, during your lifetime, you can decide what strategy to use, and you could even tinker with this structure over time. You could start with one option, then switch to another, such as by starting out with a loan, but then forgiving that loan or transferring the property to the beneficiary at the appropriate time. But you can see that it gets much more complicated if you're not the decision maker. In that case, you want to make sure that the trust is structured in a way so that the right trustee is named and the trustee has the right guidance of how you would want to facilitate the purchase of this home. If you're considering ways that you could benefit others and facilitate the purchase of a home, then again, I have to say, I really appreciate your generosity and your thoughtfulness. Well, I hope this has been helpful to at least give you some overall options and thoughts and pitfalls of how you might approach it. I'm Steve Murphy, and this has been Legacy Planning Once Removed, my podcast on thoughtful estate planning. Thanks for listening.